year starting with $500 off. This will be your favorite home improvement, especially during the holiday. Comer and Cross Concrete floor coatings are the gold standard. Guaranteed. They'll never chip, crack, or show tire lift like epoxy or paint ever. And they make it so easy. I know they did mine. It's one day, they're in, they're out. They fix your cracks and the pits perfectly. They're all certified employee pros too. No freelancers, and they take your stuff out for you. The number is easy. 1-800-NEW-FLOOR. For your best price of the year on your garage floor or your basement floor and guaranteed installation by the holiday, you have to call them now. 1-800-NEW-FLOOR. That's 1-800-NEW-FLOOR or go to comercross.com.
More of the Bernstein and Harris Show on the way in 60 seconds on The Score.
This holiday at T-Mobile, I'm joined by a special co-anchor.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Big Snoop D-O-double-G.
Snoop, let's talk about T-Mobile.
Okay, cool.
This holiday, get four lines for $25 a line, plus four iPhone 16s with Apple Intelligence and the all-new camera control on us.
Let's get cracking, like a breakfast egg.
You can use those eggs to make some eggnog, Snoop.
Respect.
And people do love T-Mobile, where you can save on every plan versus...
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay. Here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on The Score.
Would you like to know how much Caleb Williams and Thomas Brown have communicated since being on the same team? Here's Caleb Williams.
You know, we haven't really talked much throughout this time.
And, uh-oh.
Well, now they will speak. Don't you think that Caleb ought to do some more of just maybe shutting up and playing?
Wow, so shut up and dribble. Huh? Okay.
Yeah. All right. We're going to create a new banner. This is a Jum Doc alert.
Must they run their mouths like that? Shut up and dribble.
Awful announcing tweet. 670 The Score host Matt Spiegel says Caleb should just shut up and dribble.
Shut up and pass.
Yeah. Or more than 3.4 yards in attempt.
There is a 0% chance this doesn't end up on awful announcing.
You know, here's the thing about the Bears and the Packers and the sweep needing to happen. As Lizzo has told us, it's about damn time.
It's a good song.
It's a great song.
She's not that great, though.
Oh, I disagree. I disagree.
Maybe. I think Shane means as like a person.
Oh, as a human.
Yeah.
But in a new lawsuit filed by three former dancers, Lizzo was accused of weight shaming.
I'm not hip to some of that.
Yeah. I'll fill you in the break.
She's a flute-playing band geek.
Awful announcing second headlines from the show.
Score producer, white man, Shane Reardon, hates Lizzo.
I was going to go with me. Matt Spiegel says Lizzo is flute-playing band geek.
There is a 0% chance this doesn't end up on awful announcing.
The radio host out of work after comments many are calling racist.
You guys are just trying to bury me. I know, because I'm a middle-aged white man. I get it.
Oh, is that it? Playing the race card?
Typical.
Typical.
Your race card, sir?
Ah, my African American Express. I've been waiting since yesterday to use you.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
That is absolute genius at work right there.
Look, all press is good press. You know what I'm saying?
It's not accurate.
You get out there, you get yourself known a little bit.
That's not accurate.
That's the name of the game, Lawrence. You know that's what I've always been about in this business.
Your name out there, no matter how.
I don't care. Yeah. I don't, I'm not interested in actually representing what I actually feel. I'm a contrarian by convenience.
I can tell you Speaks All Press is not good press. That is,
you are correct, Shane. That is the proper response,
Google,
Shane.
Sir.
Just put my name in Google.
That's all right.
I have to keep this job for a long time.
We would like for you to keep this job for a long time.
And that's why he's booked a hell of a show.
He has. We have ourselves quite the show today. It is Spiegel and Holmes. That man is Matt Spiegel.
They let go of Shane. You know,
unfortunate about the circumstances as far as Shane being fired.
Yeah, sucks.
Got your good fellows already.
But they're letting me do one more show. What will I say today?
What?
We've lost the symmetry of the offensive the coordinator and the O-line coach collaborating. Shane and Chris getting a chance to work on all their blocking schemes. We've lost that opportunity. So Tanny has to harvest all the Shane stuff from yesterday one more time. Just hold it. Just in case we need it.
Just like this Chris, the Chris over there with the Bears, he's been there a long time.
A long time.
Knows how to keep his job.
He's outlasted a lot of regimes.
So like Speegs was saying, our show is booked today.
Wani will be in studio with us at 5 o'clock. It's always fun. Shout out to Wani getting a nice – talk about good press. The piece in the Cranes about Wani is great.
I've got it right here, man. We'll have – I'm going to have Wani autograph it when he gets in here.
It doesn't mention the other show he's on weekly, but that's fine. Mark Grody is on
– Cranes.
Yeah. Mark Grody's on at 4 o'clock. Matt Bowen is going to join us at 2:40 today. We are also going to talk about the developments in the CHSN thing and ask a question of people. I asked it to folks on Twitter. They ain't happy if Twitter is any indication of this. But we'll see. Like we'll do a different kind of grouping with folks on the phone and in text. And the folks are in the mob. Shout out to the mob. The mob wanted to remind us that the Iron Man streak for this show is now up to 22.
That's pretty high. I got to say, 22 in the Iron Man streak just means we're both here working together. This started in the days of me and Mac way back in the day, and it's Doug, it's Audio ID Kid, who was the originator of the Iron Man streak. I think Mac and I made it to 10 once. It was very exciting.
Well, I'm upset because I'm doing some extra stuff this weekend for the station.
Uh-huh.
So Mitch was like, I would like it if I didn't burn you, you know, so why don't you pick a day next week and take a day off? So I'm going to take next Friday off. So the streak's going to end at 27.
Unless I can end it first.
Well, I don't want you to just not do the show.
I might want to. But you never know.
But I imagine 27 is...
That's got to be very... That's up there.
That's pretty strong.
Yeah.
Although, you and Danny didn't take a lot of time off.
I think...
What?
They didn't?
Things happen.
I don't know if we ever broke 8 or 9.
No. We got to 20 at least
mob,
once.
Check me on that.
I feel like I would see them every day. Or maybe it's just I was thinking I've seen one of them every day.
You see one of them every day, yeah. Well, rarely were they both off.
We eventually called it the Parkins or Spiegel show. And this one is Spiegel and Holmes. So I say we keep the conjunction we've got.
Yeah, so do you not want me to take off next Friday so we can keep the streak?
No, well, traditionally the Friday before Bears-Vikings is usually when a host takes off. So now you go. You enjoy yourself. Kid,
it would be nice though if the Bears won, like this week. Can you imagine?
Hey man, I got the image.
I know
of
you
it.
Can imagine.
I gave you the image of it yesterday, and I'm betting it on behalf of the investors in the mob that jumped with me, putting it on the money line. But I could conceivably, you can conceivably see it if Thomas Brown simplifies what they do and they run the ball a lot into what is actually a vulnerable defensive line for the Packers, and the Bears defense plays with their normal verve and Jordan Love gives up the ball a couple times, which he is prone to do.
It's not a bad question for Matt Bowen when we talk to him at 2:40 about what simplification of an offense can look like and how can it succeed. So let's I'm going to put a mark in that and maybe write it into our doc to ask Bowen about that. But that's not where we're going to start today. We're going to start with something that happened on our show and something that happened at Halas Hall, and they seem to kind of mix.
Yeah, they really do. I mean, this thing from Keenan Allen yesterday has been everywhere in the football landscape. I heard David Hall this morning calling it the quote of the year. Or the soundbite of the year in terms of Bearsness. Tom Pelissero brought it up to us yesterday at 5:15 from the NFL Network. So because it's crossed all around. This very simply is Keenan Allen talking about where it went wrong for Shane Waldron.
For me, I'd probably say just probably too nice of a guy. I think OTAs, training camp, we kind of fell into a trap of letting things go, not holding people accountable, and obviously those things get into a little slippery slope.
So what types of things are you talking about?
Just being, you know, kind of professionalism, just doing things the right way from the beginning.
So to that end, what does Thomas's presence mean to this offense? Different personality biologically.
Yeah, different personality. I think he's just more of a don't take type of guy, and won't accept it either, so see how it goes.
That matters?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's incredible. That is a vet telling you that right from the get-go, and he wasn't here for some of the OTAs because he's a vet, and he didn't even have to be here, but as soon as he showed up, he looked around and was like, what the hell is happening here? What are these guys doing? You lollygag your way around the practice field. You lollygag your way in the reading room. You know what that makes you?
A lollygagger?
That's right. Lollygaggers.
I feel like Nate Davis wasn't here for the OTAs either.
I don't know if he was.
I don't think he was.
Certainly wasn't here mentally.
No, and also not physically, but that's another story for another day. But yeah, you're right. Like, it's an interesting thing. And we had brought up, like, as a show, we kind of talked about, well, maybe Shane was in a very strange place because of the power dynamic, that everything has been catered towards Caleb. And if you're him, if you're trying to pick a side on what type of coach you need to be, is it, I'm going to be rolling with Caleb over here, so whatever he does is right because he's going to be here and not everyone else is.
Here's the thing, though. I do believe that when you are trying to teach a young quarterback, everything in the org has to be focused on that. Like, that's all good because of how important it is. But what you can't do is directly, when it comes to the work that matters, you can't kiss his ass on the practice field. That's a different thing. You got to coach him on the practice field.
You can't allow for veterans, especially those who have seen a lot of ball, to see that happen.
No chance.
Like a guy like Mercedes Lewis, a guy like Keenan Allen, a guy like DJ Moore, those guys, or even in the case of like Cole Kmet, where Cole saw how hard Justin was coached. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So he's like, wait a minute.
And Justin took to it because Justin is a dude who wants to be coached. And we're not positive about Caleb. We think he is. We heard that he craves structure and we heard that he wants that. But either way, you got to give it to a rookie quarterback. You can't just like let them tell you they got it all figured out because that's not the way the world works. So with that in mind, they chose a horrible leader and communicator as offensive coordinator, just an absolutely brutal choice, who then they then called, as a leader, he's dynamic, said Matt Eberflus, which is a disgusting misread or just a bald-faced lie the day that they announced
him. When you hear Keenan talk the way that he did, and then you back that up with what Spiegs is saying here from Eberflus, it is unimaginable that they thought that he was a dynamic leader.
They said as a leader, he's dynamic. How is that possible that you actually thought that? You just thought you could say that and people would buy it? It's just absolute trash. So that's the thing that was everywhere yesterday. And you had the realization that it married to something that we heard on this show.
Yeah, so we're going to talk with Lance Briggs every Tuesday at 3 o'clock. And if you missed the debut, you missed the doozy because he was getting his toes done while he was doing the segment. It was a lot of fun with him and Speaks talking about pedicures. But when we started talking about how teams work, how locker rooms work, how relationships with coaches work, it sparked our brains when he said this.
You got to know how to lead, man. You know, it's the analytics are good. You know, you can be a smart. You want him to be smart to look at a defense and someone to call down and say, hey, this is how they're attacking us, or this is what they're doing on first down, and immediately say, okay, I know what I want to do. I know how I want to attack that based off of our personnel and our strengths. But along with the analytics, and I believe that the NFL right now is a very analytical league, you know, a lot of smart guys, but not a lot of great leaders of men. So you have to be able to lead men. You have to be able to take charge of those guys in that room, because once you do, they'll run through a brick wall for you, you know, and that doesn't seem to be the case with the Bears right now, because I see guys pulling in a lot of different directions right now, fellas, a lot of different directions right now where I see the players standing.
What does it take to lead men? Like what kind of person? What do you need from a coach in that regard?
Well, number one, if you want to lead men, you got to be willing to fight every one of them in the room. You know, and that's it really comes down to it. And that's all. You know, football is a control fight. You know, and you know you have to be able to challenge them at the moment that you see an issue. You don't cover it up. You don't walk away. You don't pretend like you don't see it. You address it right now. You know, you're sharp. You're very translucent about what you want out of them, about what you need, and you're very sharp. And one thing that Lovey used to always say at the very first meeting: listen, I will fine you to the maximum amount that is allowed for anything that you do that you're not supposed to be doing. So know that out the gate.
Love that. Lovey did it with money, but he had the toughness underneath it. That they knew in both facets. He would get him with the wallet as much as he needed to, but he would stand right up to him if he needed to as well.
He'd get him with the wallet and also with playing time. And you talk to those guys, he was really good at finding the thing that got to you. Because Lovey rarely yelled and never cursed. So think about that. Like when you hear Lance talk about the idea of you have to be able to fight a guy, like he's not talking about a Dan Campbell type. That wasn't Lovey's get down at all. But there was a level of respect that he had built into them. And the way that he acted, they never ever wanted to disappoint him. And then you have the sternness of, here are the weapons that I will use. I don't have to use my fists. I will bench you, and I will take your money away. I will do all that I can do inside of the CBA because this is my team and I'm in charge of it.
And I'll say it right to your face and go right to it. And it appears we have a situation where Eberflus is not that guy. And neither was Shane Waldron. So who is that guy? It's got to be somebody. They got to have it. Kerry Joseph can't be that guy. He's a quarterback's coach, and that's all he is. It's like you need. It has to be somebody. This is always the case in a baseball clubhouse, too, man.
I'm struggling. Speaks the reason that I'm struggling with it, like the characterization of Eberflus in this, is because it would be the first time that I had ever encountered a defensive guy being like that. Like usually, even down to the position coaches, like those guys have maybe a little harder edge because of what's asked of them as coaches. If Eberflus, like I would love to know, like maybe that's one of the things I can dig and find out. I would love to know if there is a passivity to him or if behind closed doors, there is a little bit of a harder edge.
Because it doesn't come across. And remember, he's trying to lead and he's not great at being the boss. And it's clear it definitely seems like he's trying to be liked a bit too much by those players.
That he's trying to figure out how to kind of walk that tightrope. Yeah. He doesn't want to go too far because he is a player's coach. And
I had a great conversation yesterday with a listener, a friend who's also a listener. And he was like, I don't know what kind of coach I'd be. Could you do the hard coaching? And we were talking about it. And No. Like these days, I really enjoy trying to tell the honest truth to people and really like get there. But I want to be liked too much. You know, you got to have that thing where you don't give a crap about being liked. Some of us face it as parents. Like you got to discipline your kid and not have your kid try, you know, and not worry about your feelings getting hurt when your kid thinks you're being an ass. So be it. My job is to make you the best adult that I can make you. And that's the gig, you know?
So the ability to tell somebody the truth without getting punched in the face.
There it is.
You tell them in the shower. That was Mark DeRosa's thoughts, that you do it in the shower. That way people are less likely to fight you.
It's embarrassing when you're a head coach who doesn't have that and you think it's okay to hire an offensive coordinator who doesn't have that. That's what's embarrassing.
To speak to my point about defensive guys,
yo,
you know who Matt Bowen's defensive coordinator was for a big portion of his career?
Bounty Gate dude, right?
Greg Williams.
Yeah, Greg Williams.
Like for real. Like, you know what I mean? Like, crazy guy stuff. So it really shocks me that Eberflus, it would shock me if he doesn't have that in him. It wouldn't shock me if he's not laying into it, though. But we will talk with Matt Bowen, and we're going to ask him about offense and how Thomas Brown can make this work with Caleb. Don't go anywhere. Matt Bowen is the best in the business. He's next here on The Score.